no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Our hour of radio drama begins with The Green Llama this week. We'll hear the story of the Million Dollar Chopsticks from June 26th, 1949. After that, also from 1949, it's Mr. Chameleon and the Perfect Maid Murder Case. That story aired December 21st.
The Green Llama strikes for justice.
Time now for another exciting adventure taken directly from the files of Jethro Dumont. Jethro Dumont, the wealthy young American who, after 10 years in Tibet, returned as the Green Llama to amaze the world with his curious and secret powers in his single-handed fight against injustice and crime.
I am Turku, whose honor and pleasure it is to serve the Green Llama. Jethro Dumont, the Green Llama, is so called because of his great wisdom and powers of concentration, which he learned while visiting my country, Tibet. As it is the duty of all llamas to oppose evil, Jethro Dumont returns to his native America to fight crime. Of the six sacred colors of Tibet, he chose green, which is the symbol of justice. The story of the Million Dollar Chopsticks began as a ship nestled against a pier in Hong Kong. Aboard the ship was the Green Llama, who had been summoned to Hong Kong by a friend in great trouble. The Green Llama was standing at the gangplank talking to the captain of the ship.
Hello, Mr. Dumont, sir. We're in harbor. I hope you enjoyed your voyage. It is a troubled place you've come to.
Captain Jensen, it is written that a man may find trouble everywhere if he does not find peace within himself.
Yeah, well, I never was much for problems, Mr. Dumont. I suppose you're right. Still, Hong Kong is filled with thieves, murderers, cutthroats, and the scum of the seven seas.
You mean the refugees from North China?
Some call them that. North China, Mr. Dumont, is filled with looters. They're bringing into Hong Kong everything of value that can be carried. Every thief of the Far East is here, and everyone else is becoming a thief.
Everyone, Captain Jensen?
Oh, Madam Ming, I didn't see you. Forgive me.
It is quite all right, Captain. I came to meet your honored passenger, the Green Llama.
Yes, of course. Mr. Dumont, this lovely lady is Madam Jade Ming. Madam, Mr. Jethro Dumont.
I'm delighted, Madam Ming.
No more than I, O Llama.
If you two will please excuse me.
Certainly. Even in China, or perhaps I should say especially in China, the news of the deeds of the Green Llama has reached my ears. Mr. Dumont, this is my servant, Yen Fu.
Yen Fu? Madam Jade Ming uses a most interesting name.
My father, Ming Ching Huang, named me Ming Yu, but I have anglicized the name.
Ming Yu, yes, of course. Yu is the word for both jade and for the five cardinal virtues. But your father must have been an admirer of Tiang Yung So.
Oh, yes, he was. But what made you think so?
Looking at you, I'm sure that your father, in naming you Jade, was thinking of the remark of Tiang Yung So. The magic powers of heaven and earth are ever combined to form perfect results.
You are most kind, Lord Lama.
Tell me, your home is in Hong Kong, Madam May.
Oh, yes. I have a small antique shop here. I will be honored should you care to visit it.
I'd be pleased to do so, if I have time before my return.
Oh, then you will not be long in China?
Well, that's difficult to say just now.
Perhaps you do not care to discuss your mission, O Llama.
Madam Ming, it is written that silence is the only true friend of discretion.
It is also written that the unspoken word watches over the hidden action. Hong Kong, my Llama, is a strange city. Even the Green Llama should think carefully of its danger.
Oh?
Hong Kong is filled with looting and the spoils of robbery. And these things, my Llama, might add up to murder.
Oh,
Thank goodness you've come.
Rita, Rita Randall. Only a much more grown-up and a more beautiful Rita than I knew years ago.
We'll talk later. I have a cab waiting. Come quickly, please.
Yes, of course. Don't you think you might begin to explain more fully why you brought me here?
I told you over the phone, Jethro. I'm in trouble. I need your help. Jethro.
What is it, Rita?
That man coming toward us.
Yes?
The one I want to talk to you about.
Going somewhere, Miss Rita Randall?
No, I'm
trying
just...
to keep me from seeing you, Miss Randall. Now, you wouldn't do that to your old friend, Toby Holbrook, would you now, Miss Randall?
Please, I... We really must be going.
Who is your friend, Miss Randall?
This is Mr. Dumont.
Dumont?
Mr. Dumont, this is Toby Holbrook. Now, if you'll excuse me...
Did I hear you call him Jethro? Jethro Dumont, huh? The Green Llama. What's wrong, Miss Randall? Are you frightened of something?
Mr. Holbrook, I'm sure you'll excuse us. Miss Randolph and I have some important business to discuss.
If you say so, Mr. Dumont. Well, you'd better tell that little girlfriend of yours to slow down. At the rate she's going, one of these days she might have a heart attack.
At least the hotel is cooler than the stranger. Now, what's the trouble, Rita? Must be pretty serious for you to ask me to come all the way to Hong Kong from New York.
Please, come up to my room. I don't want to talk here.
All right.
That man you met, Toby Holbrook, I went in business with him. I supplied the money and he was to supply the brains. Well, he did. He took me for everything. I don't have a dime left. We were in the exporting business. Exporting Chinese art, particularly jade art, to America.
Yeah?
Now he claims that the business has failed and that we've lost all of our money. My money. But I have another idea.
What is it?
This is my room here. I think he not only pocketed my money, but that the whole scheme was one of using it to finance some crooked operation.
I see. Well, you still have a lovely suite in one of the best hotels in Hong Kong.
I won't have for long. Right after I get to next level. Just look on the couch! Is he dead?
No, I don't think so. Are you my friend?
No, resting my eyes. Very wise thing to do in Hong Kong. Hello, Rita.
Howard, what are you doing here?
Waiting for you, my pet. What else? Although you might stock up at a greater bourbon. Also, you might introduce me to your handsome friend. Who is he? My replacement?
Jethro, this is Howard Stacy, Mr. Dumont.
Mr. Stacy?
Howard and I have known each other for some time.
What an amusing choice of words. Mr. Dumont, huh? Alias the Green Llama. I suppose you're here because little Rita's in trouble again. Well, she's in trouble because she wouldn't listen to me.
Really, Mr. Stacy? And what did you recommend?
She'd spend all her money buying the finest bourbon for me, of course. If she had followed my advice about not going into business, she wouldn't have run into the curse.
Are you still harping on that superstitious business?
What is this about a curse, Mr. Stacy?
Didn't she tell you?
Oh, of course not. It's a
Wait a minute, Rita. What about a curse, Mr. Stacy?
Little Rita loses sight of the important things, Mr. Dumont. When she went into business with Holbrook, their first shipment was a mixed lot of jade curios. Rita had to go down to the ship the day before it sailed and look it over. And she had to decide that one of the items, a pair of jade chopsticks, was something she wanted. She took them home with her.
I still don't see what this has to do with a curse.
You will. These were jade chopsticks made for Lu Nung Shan Li of the 14th century. He's the old boy who put a curse on everything he owned. Well, just run along. Look me up sometime, Mr. Dumont, and we'll talk about women and curses.
Yes, perhaps I'll do that. Where do I find you?
At the Hong Kong Yachting Club, or you'll find me on my yacht. Rita, my love, I'll see you around.
Don't pay any attention to him, Jethro. Stacy's a playboy, and he likes to pretend that he's interested in things like curses.
Still, I think I'd like to hear about the chopsticks that have a curse on them.
All right, I took a pair of chopsticks from that first shipment. Why shouldn't I? I was half owner of everything. They were beautiful green jade, and I just couldn't resist them.
The curse, Rita?
Later, I heard about that. It's true that a number of strange things happened while I had them.
Such as?
Well, I thought I was being followed a couple of times. It was probably only robbers. Then someone broke in here once.
Where are the chopsticks now?
I sold them when I ran out of money.
Who bought them?
Madam Jade Ming.
Oh?
She gave me $5,000 for them.
I see. And that's all about the chopsticks?
Yes. Except for the fact that a couple of days after I sold them, someone called me and offered me $1 million for them.
Hmm.
That probably Stacy's idea of a joke.
Yes. Jethro. Quiet, someone's at the door.
Jethro! It's...
Surely, Miss Randolph.
It's your old friend, Tobia Holbrook.
I'll call a doctor.
No, it's no use. I just came to tell you, Miss Randolph. The $1 million chopsticks are...
Jethro! Jethro!
Never mind calling that doctor, Rita. He's dead.
In my country, Tibet, crime is as rare as the snow in August. Yet in Hong Kong, a city of oriental charm and beauty, there was now a murder involving a pair of chopsticks said to be worth $1 million. While I, Tulku, waited in New York, the Green Lama was facing death and violence in order to help a friend. When Toby Holbrook died in Rita Randolph's hotel apartment, the Green Lama telephoned the manager to summon the Hong Kong police. Yet even before they could arrive, a small, round Chinese had rushed to the scene of the crime.
I am here, Green Lama, ready to serve you.
Who are you?
You represent the police?
Oh, no, indeed, Noble Lama. My name, Liu Bingha, Chinese private detective, protector of law and order, Oriental Philip Marlowe, custodian of Chinese capers, Sam Spade style, at your service.
Then who sent you here, Bingha?
Liu Bingha, also house detective for Royal Guard Hotel. Here, manager, phone police, come at once. Like American private eye, Liu Bingha never sleeps.
It's so. Jethro, I can't sleep.
One moment, Rita. Bingha, did you see anyone leaving the hotel in a hurry within the past 10 minutes?
Liu Bingha, very shrewd, very astute, very alert. See no one.
Jethro, this man's obviously...
Wait, Rita. Someone stabbed Toby Holbrook inside the hotel and within the last 10 minutes. Since this man also works as house detective for the hotel, he must know the complete floor plan and would know where a murderer could hide.
Green Lama, very smart, very intelligent. No good detective when he see one. Look, Liu Bingha have American-type Hickok wallet without benefit American-type folding money. So, he give you a special fee. $1 per clue.
That's very kind of you, but I doubt if it'll be necessary. Tell me, do you know anything about a pair of chopsticks worth $1 million?
$1 million chopsticks?
These chopsticks belong to Liu Hongxiang Di.
Aye, Liu Hongxiang Di. He great philosopher who say that man who commit murder bite off more than he can chew.
A very sound proverb. And in this case, I think when we discover why the chopsticks are worth $1 million, we'll have found the murderer.
Yes?
I want to ask you some questions, Madam Ming.
Mr. Dumont, please come to my private quarters where we can talk. There's someone there I would like you to meet. This way, please. My most valuable objects are not for the public eye, Mr. Dumont. They are shown only to those who recognize their true value. Ah, here we are, Mr. Dumont. Please step inside.
Thank you, Madam Ming. Yes, this is quite a nice place you have here. I see.
What do you see, Mr. Green Lama?
Well, Mr. Howard Stacy, the young man with the taste for fine bourbon.
And I suppose the Green Lama doesn't approve?
Mr. Stacy, your habits are of no concern to the Green Lama.
I was not aware that you two had met, Mr. Dumont.
We met a short while ago, Madam Ming, through a mutual friend. I wasn't aware that Mr. Stacy was interested in antiques.
I've always been interested in things of beauty, Dumont. Fine whiskey and fine women, not accepted.
Your taste in women is excellent, Stacy. I wonder if it's as keen on the matter of fine chopsticks.
Very clever. Except you forget that it was I who told you about the chopsticks. Well, Jade Ming, I think I'll come back and see you sometime when there's not so much company.
Goodbye, Mr. Stacy.
See you later, Dumont.
Well, seems as though our young friend Stacy takes a decided interest in the community.
He is quite harmless, Noble Lama. But his interest is not in antiques.
Oh? What do you mean?
He's in love with a Randolph girl. He seeks advice from my humble person. Please be seated, O Lama, there by the window. We shall have tea.
I'm afraid I haven't time for that now, Madam Ming.
Please call me Jade. In your country, friends are known by their first name, Jethro.
Yes. Jade, a man was killed this afternoon. Before he died, he mentioned a pair of chopsticks said to be worth $1 million.
This is the only reason you've come to see me?
Rita Randolph sold a valuable pair of chopsticks to you recently. I wonder if I might see them.
Can this not wait, my Lama?
I'd like to look at those chopsticks.
Very well. They are solid jade worth approximately $10,000. I bought them for $5,000. This is a far cry from $1 million, is it not, Green Lama? Here you are. See them for yourself.
Thank you. Very unusual. I've never seen chopsticks so large and thick. However, Lu Nung Shang Di was said to be a large, powerful man who had everything made for him of large size. Perhaps this is even true of the legends about him, eh? Tell me, who owned them before Rita Randolph obtained them?
In Hong Kong, one no longer asks how priceless objects are obtained, Jethro. Many strange things take place. Smugglers are as common today as pickpockets used to be. Two ladies on six... Jethro, look out!
Against the person who threw that knife.
Mr. Dumont, what has happened?
No one in sight but you, Binghao.
Mr. Dumont, why you look at me? What is it?
Someone just threw a knife at me through the back window of this shop.
Oh, was not I, Noble Lama. Son of many Noble Lama. Was not I? I see no one.
Yes, I was afraid of that. Wait. A piece of rope.
Oh, heavy rope. Clue, O Lama. Lie in alley near the shop window.
Yes, but it's not rope. It's line, heavy line, the kind used on board a ship.
Oh, it's significant, Green Lama?
More than significant. It's but a few inches long, yet long enough, Bing Hao, to hang someone.
Colonel Trimble Smythe of the Hong Kong Police. Anything I can do for you?
Yes, my name is Jethro Dumont. I'm looking for a Miss Rita Randolph. The clerk at her hotel said I'd find her here.
Randolph. Randolph. Name's rather familiar. Rather.
Oh, Mr. Dumont, a great Lama, at last you come.
Yes. Lu Bing Hao. Say, where's Miss Randolph?
This a policeman. He come to Royal Guard Hotel. He see a dead body. He see Miss Rita, and we go to jail.
Yes. You know, I remember. Miss Randolph. Yeah, she's the one that killed that fella up in the hotel. Slipped my mind for the moment. The whole thing is quite messy, really, really rather messy. Blood on the carpet and that sort of thing, you know?
Then you arrest Miss Randolph for the murder of Toby Holbrook?
Oh, I had to. He was dead, you know.
Lu Bing Hao, he file a crazy. Defend Miss Rita. The 10 men subdue me. I lose.
This Lu Bing Hao fellow has been creating quite a fuss in my station. We arrested the girl and he insisted on coming along. We can't get rid of him.
Colonel, on what grounds are you holding Miss Randolph? What proof is there she killed Holbrook?
Proof? Well, the man was in her apartment, wasn't he? And he was dead, wasn't he? What further proof do you need, old boy?
Yes. Well, I'd like to see her, if I may.
Yeah, you're all that Green Llama fellow, aren't you? I thought I'd seen your face before in the papers, huh?
Him most famous man in world, second only to Confucius.
Yeah, very well. Well, perhaps you may see her for a moment, but please make it brief. Jail regulations, you know. This way, please.
No, but Green Lama, Lu Bing Hao, he's not idle. While silly colonel read newspaper, Lu Bing Hao steal keys to jail, see? That's very clever, O Lama.
Very clever indeed, Bing Hao. However, I suggest you return them to the colonel's pockets before he finds them missing.
You do not want them?
No. Were I to steal them and free Miss Randolph, I'd be as guilty of crime as the one I seek. No, Bing Hao, I do not want them. And I don't think I need them.
Yeah, here you are. Remember now, just a few moments. Must follow regulations, you know. Here you are.
Jethro, I prayed you'd find me.
Rita, I only have a minute. Now, I need the answer to one question, and you must be honest with me.
Yes.
All right. Who knew that you took the jade chopsticks?
Only Only Captain Jensen.
I see. Did he object when you took them?
Yes, but not for long. I did have a right to them.
Yes, of course. Was your exporting all to be done by Captain Jensen's ship?
Yes, we chartered him.
Who else was in the business with you and Holbrook?
No one. Why?
There must have been somebody else. Yes, I believe I know who killed Holbrook and why. If you'll excuse me, I think I'll pay a call on a murderer. Coming, Binghow?
I think I stay here with Mr. Randolph.
Very well, Binghow. I'll go to the harbor alone. Good evening, Captain Jensen.
Mr. Dumont, now, what are you doing here? What do you want?
I want a murderer, Captain Jensen. A murderer who killed for a pair of chopsticks worth $1 million.
No, you don't mean me, Mr. Dumont. I had nothing to do with it. I'm innocent.
Are you, Captain Jensen? Toby Holbrook had a partner besides Miss Randall.
I wasn't his partner. I was only hired to ship their export. You must believe me.
And what happened when Rita Randolph took the pair of jade chopsticks?
Well, I tried to stop her because I knew that Mr. Holbrook wouldn't like it if anything was missing.
And who did you tell that Miss Randolph took the chopsticks?
Only Mr. Holbrook, sir. He was very angry.
Why?
Oh, I don't know, sir. I had a feeling, sir, that Mr. Holbrook was engaged in more than just exporting, but that was none of my business, nor were the phone calls he made.
What phone calls, Captain?
Well, after I told him about the chopsticks...
Darkness may protect the strong and fortify the weak, but it will not conceal evil. I see you there in the shadows of the bridge. Om Mani Padme Hum. The Green Lama strikes for justice.
Stand back, you idiot. Stand back or I'll kill you.
Has he killed Holbrook?
Stand back, I say.
Your gun's almost empty, Mr. Howard, Stacy. One shot remains. Fire that and you're at my mercy.
You asked for it, Dumont. I'll put a bullet in you with pleasure.
Now, Mr. Stacy, we're on equal terms. This is too make powerful weapon.
Dumont, look out for the railing. We'll go over the side. Look out.
Mr. Dumont, Mr. Green Lama, you all right?
Yes, I'm all right, Binghow.
Oh, I was very afraid for you. I decided to find you. I know you need help. Mr. Randolph, pay me. You okay?
Seems like Mr. Howard Stacy can't swim, Lube. Throw him a line. He's harmless now.
Binghow, Mr. Green Lama. Oh, we're very brave. We heroes. We capture a murderer. Lube Binghow, finish case. We run Gulf Bath Tower and put it.
So there's your man, Colonel Smythe. Howard Stacy would be playboy, smuggler, and murderer.
Yes, highly irregular, Mr. Dumont. Highly irregular bringing this man here. He should have been taken to our major headquarters. Regulations, you know, huh? However, perhaps we can overlook that. Oh, I say. He is wet, isn't he, what?
Oh, him all wet many ways.
Yeah. Very well, Mr. Dumont. We'll accept the prisoner, and naturally Miss Randolph will be released. We appreciate your assistance, Mr. Dumont.
Thank you. Now, if you'd care to come along with me to Madame Ming's, we might look at a rather interesting pair of chopsticks.
Ah, welcome back, Jethro. You returned to have tea with Jade Ming?
No, not this time. Perhaps we can have tea later.
Oh.
You know Colonel Smythe?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, of course, dear lady.
Jade Ming. You still have the chopsticks you bought from Rita Randolph?
Yes, of course.
I know you don't wish to part with them, but this time I'm afraid it's necessary. Here's my personal check to cover what you paid for them. May I have the chopsticks, please?
I can see that it is urgent, so it shall be as you wish. Here they are, Jethro.
Good. Now, I think we'll find that one end of each of these chopsticks will unscrew. There.
Oh. By Jove!
Emeralds.
Yes, from looted Pekin. These emeralds are the reason why the chopsticks were worth $1 million.
That's amazing. Simply amazing.
How did you know about the cures, Jethro?
Well, it was partly a guess. But also it was due to the fact that everyone took it for granted that the chopsticks had really belonged to Lu Nung Shang Di, and that they shared the curse he put on his possession.
Oh. And this is not true?
No. No, it isn't, Jade Ming. I looked up the list of possessions left by Lu Nung Shang Di in the illustrated description of ancient jade, the only authentic catalog of Chinese jade.
Oh, yes.
Shang Di left no jade chopsticks. Therefore, the only alternative was that the chopsticks concealed something. It occurred to me that the exporting business could also make an excellent screen for smuggling more valuable things into America.
What made you suspect this Stacy fella?
Holbrook had to have a partner who murdered him. Mr. Stacy seemed so interested in the chopsticks. Then, after the attack on me here in Madame Ming's, I found a piece of line in the alley, most often found on yachts. And our Mr. Stacy was the yachtsman.
Absolutely amazing.
I think it is more than amazing. Jethro, why not stay a while and tell me all about it?
Perhaps later. When the duties of the Green Llama are finished, I can return.
Which means never. For even I know that the duties of the Green Llama will never be finished as long as there is injustice in the world.
Oh, my llama, it is good to have you back from the China seas.
And it's good to be back, Toku. Yeah. It's truly written that home always beckons the traveler.
So it was said by the great Buddha himself. I thought perhaps you'd like to see the evening paper, my llama.
Oh, thank you, Toku. Oh, those no goodniks. Well, here's an interesting item dated from Hollywood, California. Listen, Toku. The La Brea tar pits in Hollywood, long famous for having preserved the fossils of prehistoric animals, was today the source of another story. It is being rumored all over the glamour city that a live dinosaur has come out of the pits and is loose in Hollywood. Police and local papers are trying to stem the rising panic.
A dinosaur? But this is impossible, Olama.
So is Hollywood, Tulku, but it exists. I think we'll look into this dinosaur. Tulku, file this story under the heading of The Last Dinosaur. Mani Padme Hum. The Green Llama strikes for justice.
The Green Llama, starring Paul Frees, is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald. Tonight's story is by Richard Foster and William Froude. Tulku is played by Ben Wright. Featured in the cast were Georgia Ellis, Paul McVeigh, Lillian Baier, Jack Crucian, Larry Dobkin, and Charles Russell. The special music is by Richard Arant. Next week, at this same time, the Green Llama faces an exciting adventure with the Last Dinosaur. Be with us when
the Green Llama strikes for justice.
Mr. Chameleon and the Perfect Maid Murder Case. Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters in his famous cases of crime and murder. Brought to you by the makers of genuine Bayer aspirin. Mr. Chameleon, as you know, is the famous and dreaded detective who frequently uses a disguise to track down a killer, a disguise which at all times is recognized by the audience. Tonight, we give you Mr. Chameleon in The Perfect Maid Murder Case. The scene opens in one of New York's most fabulous mansions, the home of Raymond Colby. And we see a young woman about to leave. Her hand is on the knob of the front door when she is interrupted by a maid whom we hear saying the words that lead to a gruesome, fantastic murder.
Excuse me, Miss Laura. Can I see you a moment before you go?
I haven't any time now, Fanny.
But this is important, Miss Laura. Terrible important.
Well, what is it then?
I want to give my notice, Mum.
Your notice? You mean you're leaving? Why, I thought you were a fixture in this house, Fanny.
But that's just it, Mum. I am a fixture here.
Then what's this talk about giving notice? What's wrong? If it's more wages...
Oh, it's not that, Mum. It's that...
Yes?
It's that I'm going to marry your father.
You're what?
Going to marry your father, that's what. Oh, well, it don't seem to set very well with you, but...
Are you completely and utterly mad? This is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, it is it? Well, let me tell you, I'm as good as you are.
Pack up your things and get out of this house as fast as you can.
I'm not packing, and I'm not leaving. I'm marrying into this house. Huh, just put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Get out instantly, I say.
I'm not going any further than my own room. You'll find me there if you want to be coming up later and telling me you're sorry. Ta-ta, dearie.
John! John, come here! John!
Don't shout, Laura. I heard it all. Great heavens, what a mess.
He can't let Father do this. He's gone mad. Ooh, that cheap, terrible creature.
I tell you, Laura, hysterics won't help. Besides, we don't want to wake the old man up and get him on our necks. We've got to think fast.
But what are we going to do? What can we do? Oh, this is too dreadful.
Listen, Laura, listen.
Yes?
You stay right here, Laura, and watch every door. Be as loud as you can if anybody comes.
You mean Father or that horrible fat?
Anybody. I've got the combination. The Father's safe.
He's safe? What are you going to do, John?
I know he keeps his will there. That's the first thing to do. He may have changed it in Fanny's favor. If he did, I'll burn it up.
And sometime later, we hear the commissioner of police assigning another famous murder case to the astute and feared Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces and disguises.
Oh, here you are, Chameleon. A murder in Park Avenue.
Oh, top draw case, eh, Commissioner?
Well, that's for you to decide, old man. The murder occurred in the Raymond Colby house.
You mean the mysteriously rich Raymond Colby's been killed?
No, not Colby himself, Chameleon. A maid in his house. A girl named Fanny Bilkins. Throat slashed open. Better get out there.
Righto, Commissioner. I'll take Detective Dave Arnold with me. Yeah. Oh, here you are, Dave.
Yes, sir.
You come with me, please. Bye, Commissioner.
I suppose the case we're on is that parlor maid murder at Raymond Colby's house.
Yes, that's it, Dan.
I guess it'll be one of those jobs where the chauffeur killed some poor girl because he was in love with her and caught the butler getting away with her.
I've no idea, Dave. Let's get the car and buzz out there. Well, personally, I'd be more interested if old Colby himself was the victim. I hear he's a queer character, the absent-minded professor type. He invented something somewhere that made him fabulously rich.
The house, Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, with a very pretty girl already holding the door open. Come ahead.
Oh, I'm so glad you came. You are from the police, aren't you?
Yes, my name is Chameleon. This is Detective Arnold. And you are...
I'm Laura Colby. Come in, Mr. Chameleon.
Thank you.
I'm rather surprised to see you here.
Surprised, Miss Laura? Why?
We didn't expect to see such a famous detective as you on an unimportant case like this.
Murder is always important.
Judy O'Grady or the judge's lady, I see.
I understand the girl who was murdered was a housemaid in your father's house, Miss Laura.
Practically nothing, Mr. Chameleon, except that she was a perfect maid, really marvelous, and that she had perfectly wonderful references when she came.
When was that?
Oh, I don't really remember. A couple of years ago. You know how those things are.
Who found her body? One of the other help in the house, I suppose.
No. As a matter of fact, my father did. He and my brother John, that is.
Yes?
Well, what actually happened was that one of the other servants, our cook, became annoyed when Fanny didn't turn up to serve breakfast this morning. She thought she'd overslept. But when she knocked on Fanny's door and she didn't answer, she became alarmed and called my father.
So he and your brother went up there?
And when they opened the door, they found her dead. Father was very much upset, and so was my brother.
Odd that the cook didn't open the door herself when she got no answer to her knock.
Why, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, but I'm sure the cook wouldn't have killed her just because Fanny overslept.
No, scarcely, Miss Laura. Dave?
Yes, Mr. Chameleon?
You go to the kitchen and talk to that cook. Find out what you can.
I'm sure a cook can't tell you any more than I have, Mr. Chameleon.
One never knows, Miss Laura. She may be concealing something from you.
I'll talk to the cook now, Mr. Chameleon.
I know. In the meanwhile, Miss Laura, perhaps your father or your brother will take me up to see the murdered girl's body.
John's in the drawing room, Mr. Chameleon. This door here. Oh, John, this is Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Chameleon? Horrible thing, isn't it? But one never knows what will happen with servants these days, does one?
What happened here, however, is a bit out of the usual run. Your sister says that you lead me to the murder room.
Well, of course, Mr. Comedian. I don't like the job, but just follow me.
Thank you.
Here are the servants' stairs.
By the way, John, do you know anything about the murdered girl? I mean, do you ever notice anything strange about her? Signs of being afraid of something, upset, anything like that?
It's a funny thing, Mr. Comedian. I never notice any servant particularly. To me, they're just faceless people. All I know is that my sister always said Fanny was the perfect maid. Laura's all in a dither. Says she'll never find another one like her. Oh, but here's her room.
Just about the size of a cell.
What?
Nothing. Poor girl. Horrible sight. Her head is almost severed.
If you're finished with me, Mr. Chameleon, I'd like to get out of here.
Oh, yes, I understand, John. I'm sorry. I forgot that we policemen are more accustomed to sights like this than people like you. Yes, you go back to the drawing room. I'll see you there presently.
Thank you, Mr. Chameleon.
Poor Fanny. Poor child. But if the dead can hear, you'll hear me promising to bring your murderer to the execution chamber.
Mr. Chameleon?
Hmm?
Nothing from the cook except what Laura Colby already told us. But get this.
Yes, Dave?
Just as I was talking to the cook, the girl's father came in.
The murdered girl's father, Dave?
Uh-huh. A man named Ed Bilkins. He started accusing everybody of murder. He's pretty wild. I told him to stay put, that you'd talk to him.
Poor devil.
What'll you get a load of him, Mr. Chameleon?
Hmm?
He looks like a bad customer to me. Not so sorry as he acts. But that don't mean I think he killed the girl.
Dave, you call the morgue and have this body picked up. And here is the knife that slashed her throat. You send it in for prints.
Okay, Mr. Chameleon.
And then hold the murdered girl's father down below. I want to talk to John Colby and his father first. Well, John, feeling a bit more steady now? Forgive me for bringing you back to the murder room.
It's all right, Mr. Chameleon. Took a drink and feel better. Well, this is my father, Raymond Colby. Father, this is Mr. Chameleon.
Huh? Mr. what? Didn't catch the name.
Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters, Mr. Colby.
Police headquarters, you said? John, what's a police officer doing here?
Investigating the murder of your maid, Fanny Bilkins, Mr. Colby.
Oh, to be sure. You know, things slip my memory, sir. And you say your name is...
Chameleon, Mr. Colby. Chameleon.
Unfortunate thing here, Mr. Cranston.
Chameleon.
Oh, yes. Chameleon. Last thing I ever expected in my house, murder. Just one of the servants. They probably got herself into trouble. Queer lot, servants. Queer lot. Never know about them.
But still human, Mr. Colby. They sing and sigh, laugh and weep, feel happiness and sorrow just like you and me. Only probably suffer more.
Quite right. I didn't think policemen thought that way, though. Well, what can I do for you?
Tell me any little thing that you might know about the girl who was so inconsiderate as to be murdered in your quiet home. Why do you think, for instance, that she was killed?
I've no idea. Never paid any attention to her, no attention at all. My daughter Laura runs the house. You better ask her.
I did, and she told me just as little as you and your son John have, Mr. Colby. But I'll...
Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, Dave?
You'd better come downstairs and talk to the man I told you was here. He's got something for you, something plenty hot.
What man, Mr. Chameleon?
After I see him, I'll tell you, John.
He's going to tear this case wide open, John. Wide open.
Tear it open, Detective Arnold? That's ridiculous.
Never mind, son. I fancy it's someone of Fanny's own class, and that it'll all turn out that a grocer's clerk or delivery boy killed Fanny.
Perhaps, Mr. Colby. I'll see you later, Mr. Colby.
John, get Laura in here right away.
What for, Father?
If you don't manage to hold yourself in, you and Laura will find yourselves up on a murder charge. Our Mr. Chameleon's one of the most penetrating men I've ever met. Up to the time you revealed excitement, our story was going down perfectly. Now be careful, my boy. I beg of you. I don't want to see my children convicted of murder.
What did the murdered girl's father tell you, Dave, to make you think he'd break this case wide open?
You better hear it from his own lips, Mr. Chameleon.
Oh.
He's here in the butler's pantry.
Oh, all right, Dave.
Mr. Bilkins, here's Mr. Chameleon. Now tell him what you told me.
It's bad, terrible. I ever brought my innocent daughter to this country, Mr. Comedian. That's how she was done in.
What do you mean, Mr. Wilkins, brought her to this country?
Didn't this here busy tell you, Mr. Comedian?
Detective Arnold wanted me to hear the story direct from you, Wilkins. Now, let's have it, please.
Fanny and me come from Australia, where we should have stayed. And then she'd never have gone into service in this old duffer's house.
Well, I still don't know what you mean, Wilkins.
What I'm trying to drive home, sir, is that Fanny wouldn't have got herself engaged to marry the old man.
Do you mean to say that your daughter, Fanny, was going to marry Raymond Colby?
I'm not lying when I say it, Mr. Comedian. I warned her proper about marrying out of her class. But Fanny had got American ideas into her head quick. Wouldn't listen to her father. And it all wound up in her being killed. Butchered like an animal.
Are you certain that your daughter was going to marry this fabulously rich man?
Look here. Here's a wedding license, Mr. Comedian. Uh-huh. She gave it to me, saying Mr. Colby didn't want it round the house, fear his son or daughter might find it. But they must have caught on some other way, sir. And that's why they killed her.
Dave, this is astounding. This license is genuine. Fanny Wilkins, age 24, Raymond Colby, 56.
It's on the up, all right, Mr. Comedian. I had it checked myself.
I'm taking the blame for Fanny's murder on myself, Mr. Comedian. I'm her father. I should have given her a good thumping and made her leave this house. The likes of her thinking of marrying the likes of him. I always say that everyone stay in his own class.
Mr. Wilkins, come with me.
Where to, sir?
Upstairs to the drawing room, or I think we'll find Mr. Colby and his son, John.
Don't make me face him now, Mr. Comedian. Mm-hmm. I can't face my daughter's dirty murderers. I can't do it, sir, I can't.
I understand, Wilkins. You wait here, then. Detective Arnold and I will go up alone.
You're a real gentleman, sir. Thank you. I'll never forget your kindness, sir.
Dave, come along.
If ever I saw one for the book, Mr. Chameleon, this is it.
If it's true, Dave, if it's true.
What? Well, don't you believe it? You saw the marriage license, didn't you?
Yes, indeed, Dave. And I also saw the shifty look in the bereaved Mr. Bilkin's eyes. If I were looking for a babysitter, and it wouldn't be Bilkin's. Now, here's the drawing room now. I expected to find your father and brother here.
They're in Father's study, Mr. Chameleon.
I've just talked to your murdered maid's father.
So they have fathers, too.
Just as you and I, Laura. But tell me.
Yes?
When was your father, Raymond Colby, going to marry Fanny Wilkins?
Oh, I didn't realize detectives on duty kidded people, Mr. Chameleon.
Then you didn't know?
Know what?
You know what. Answer the question.
If you expect me to answer a ridiculous question like that, Mr. Chameleon... Are you serious? Imagine Father marrying a housemaid. It's too silly.
That the door to the study, Laura?
Well, yes. I'll tell Father you want to see him.
Don't trouble, thank you. I'll go in alone. And you stay here. I hope I'm not interrupting, Mr. Colby. Oh. I see you have your safe open. Something lost?
Father has an idea he misplaced his will, Mr. Chameleon.
I'm on the forgetful side, Mr. Chameleon. I'll find it later.
Why not look in the fireplace, Mr. Colby? Wait a second.
In the fireplace, Mr. Chameleon?
Yes, John. Yes, here is what is left of your father's will. All but the top burned away, though. Do you mind telling me why you tried to destroy it, John?
My son didn't, Mr. Chameleon. Probably did it myself. I do such utterly stupid things without thinking.
Like arranging to marry your housemaid, Mr. Colby?
What is this, Mr. Chameleon? Father planning to marry that...
That murdered girl, John. Murdered.
Oh, Mr. Chameleon, what in heaven's name gives you the idea Father was going to marry her?
This marriage license, John.
Marriage license?
John, I told you before that Mr. Chameleon was a very penetrating man. Trying to deceive him would be unfair to him and us.
Then you were going to marry her, Mr. Colbin?
Oh, no. Not at all, Mr. Chameleon. Well, I really don't know why I took out that marriage license.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't done simply to keep a perfect maid. Come, Mr. Colby, don't you think it's time to stop trying to protect your children?
Why should he try to protect Laura and me, Mr. Chameleon? We didn't kill that girl.
In my entire experience, I've never met with a clearer motive for murder. Never. Dave?
Right here, Mr. Chameleon.
Oh.
What do we do, arrest John and Laura?
No, not now, Dave. Bring the murdered girl's father in here immediately, and then we'll...
That's what I came up here to tell you, Mr. Chameleon. Pilkins slipped out of the house while I went into the kitchen to get a drink of water.
What?
I sent out a general alarm for him.
Have this house guarded, Dave. And get this straight, Mr. Kilby. If either your son or daughter attempts to leave here, they'll be taken in on suspicion of willful murder.
Mr. Chameleon and the Perfect Maid murder case continues in just a moment. When you have a cold, you need Bayer aspirin. Need it because it's important to you that you get quick relief from the headachy, feverish feeling and the muscular aches and pains that almost always accompany a cold. And because Bayer aspirin gives you this important relief, it should be taken at the first sign of a cold before you do anything else. Regardless of what you do to stop or shorten a cold, we believe your own doctor will tell you that this is sound advice. And it's advice you can follow with confidence, for Bayer aspirin is used by millions to treat these distressing symptoms. It provides amazingly fast relief, makes you feel better, because it's ready to go to work in 2 seconds. And its single active ingredient is so gentle to the system that doctors prescribe it even for small children. That's why it's been used by millions of normal people without ill effect. So at the first sign of a cold, before you do anything else, take Bayer aspirin. When you buy, ask for Bayer aspirin, not just for aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the Perfect Maid murder case. Fanny Bilkins has been viciously murdered in the home of wealthy Raymond Colby, where she worked as a housemaid. Mr. Chameleon has discovered that Colby had planned to marry Fanny in spite of the bitter protests of his son John and his daughter Laura. During the investigation, the murdered girl's father, Edward Bilkins, has disappeared from the Colby home. But an hour later, when Mr. Chameleon impatiently paces his office at headquarters, he suddenly finds that no general alarm was required to bring in Bilkins. For a strange surprise awaits him, as Detective Dave Arnold rushes into his office saying...
Mr. Chameleon.
Hmm?
I just brought in Fanny Bilkins' father in an ambulance.
In an ambulance, Dave?
He's got a knife cut straight down his left cheek. Hmm. Didn't miss his throat by half an inch. But the ambulance doc patched him up on the way in, and now he's squawking loud to see you. He says...
Get him in here, Dave.
Come in, Bilkins.
Bilkins, what happened? Who tried to get you? I get down to the point without wasting words.
Very good, sir. But it was a near one. Not satisfied with cruelly murdering my daughter, Fanny.
Who?
Raymond Colby. Well, I mean his son, John. But the fact is, I don't know for
where
sure.
Where did the attack take place, Bilkins?
In the old Duffer's study, that's where.
What were you doing there?
Nothing, sir, nothing. Just nosing around.
It won't do, Bilkins. Out with it.
Mr. Chameleon, here's a bag the boys took off Bilkins on the way in.
Give it to me, Mr. Copper. I never seen it before. Fanny gave it to me.
Looks like about $500,000 in jewels, Bilkins. And they look familiar. Very familiar.
But I don't know anything about them.
Dave, put Bilkins on detention. I got the answer to this case.
Look here, Chameleon, I got rights. Those jewels were planted on
me. Come along,
me.
Bilkins.
You chose your own daughter, did you? I'll be right back, Mr. Chameleon.
Right on. Hello?
Mr. Chameleon, this is John Colby.
Yes?
Most of my dead mother's jewelry has been stolen.
Who discovered the loss, John?
Our butler did. Caught the robber in the act, but he got away. Can you come out here right away?
Not just now, John. You said only part of your mother's jewelry was stolen?
The butler came in the room just in time to save the rest.
I have got the stolen jewels, John. And the robber, too.
You've got the jewels and the robber both?
I'm pretty positive I have, John. But I want to make sure before I definitely charge the man that we're holding.
Well, what do you mean, Mr. Chameleon?
Instead of coming myself, John, I'm going to send one of our expert jewel men out there. And he'll bring the jewels I have here out, too, for identification.
I wish you'd come yourself, Mr. Chameleon, instead of... What's that, Father? All right, I'll ask Mr. Chameleon. Sorry, Mr. Chameleon, but Father suggests...
Yes?
Father's worried about anybody coming but you, Mr. Chameleon. So is my sister, Laura. Can't you come yourself?
I'm sorry, I'm not a jewel expert. I'm sending our head man, Pierre-Antoine, out right away. And then I'll follow later. Goodbye, John.
What's all that about, Mr. Chameleon? Are you going out to Colby's in disguise?
Right you are, Dave. Disguised as Pierre-Antoine, the police department's chief man on jewels. Now you will come with me. And the instant we get there and you introduce me, arrest John and Laura Colby on my orders.
Well, orders are orders, but I don't get you, Mr. Chameleon. Why not pinch them and be done with it?
Because I need the evidence I think their father, Raymond Colby, will give me, Dave.
And so, a little later, we find Detective Arnold with Mr. Chameleon in his disguise as Pierre Antoine at the murder house, as Dave Arnold says.
Evening, everybody. This gentleman is the police department's jewel expert. Mr. Chameleon sent him out.
Pierre Antoine at your service. Mr. Raymond Colby, monsieur?
Yes, Mr. Antoine. This is my daughter, Laura.
Mademoiselle.
How do you do?
And my son, John.
Monsieur Jean. May we all sit down? Or perhaps you, Mademoiselle Laura, will be so kind as to bring the remaining jewels from the robbery for me to see.
Sorry, Monsieur Antoine, but Mr. Chameleon ordered me to arrest this lady and her brother and bring them back to headquarters.
That is absurd, Detective Arnold. Surely Mr. Chameleon is making a mistake.
Mr. Chameleon is a fool.
We won't go, Laura. Detective Arnold can't arrest us without a warrant.
Here's the warrant, John. Better come quietly.
John, you can only cause yourself and Laura trouble by not going with Detective Arnold.
But, Father...
You've got the right idea, Mr. Colby. Now, come on, John and Laura. No point getting tough about it.
My compliment to Mr. Chameleon, Detective Arnold. And be good enough to express my opinion that he is making a most stupid blunder. Arresting two such charming young people.
Stupid or not, I'm taking them, Monsieur Antoine. Good night.
Good night. Oh, dreadful contretemps, Monsieur Colby. I thought better of that chameleon. There is your police mind.
Mr. Antoine, did you bring the jewels recovered from the man who robbed my safe?
In this very bag, Monsieur Colby. The robber was the father of the housemaid murdered here today. Your fiancé, I'm told.
Hand over those jewels, Chameleon.
What?
Shut up, Chameleon. I'm doing the talking now. Give me that bag, quick. They're the only evidence you've got that I killed that infernal housemaid, Fanny Bilkins. Now let's have them.
When I take you in, Raymond Colby, it'll be for two murders. But, anyway, here are the jewels.
You're not taking me in.
No?
By the time they find your body, Chameleon, I'll be out of the country. Got any last wishes, cop?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to tell you how I caught up with you, Raymond Colby.
I'm interested, but hold your gab to 3 minutes.
Through a careful study of police records extending from New York to Sydney, Australia. You murdered the woman who owned those jewels, Lady Ashton Burl, in Australia 5 years ago.
That's past history, Chameleon, but suppose I did.
The one living man who knew you did was your murdered housemaid's father, a petty criminal named Ed Bilkins. And he followed you here. Forced you to hire his daughter Fanny as a maid in your house, and then blackmailed you into a promise to marry her with your mysteriously and criminally acquired wealth.
Anything else, Chameleon? You've got 30 seconds left.
Only this, Raymond.
Don't move, Colby. You hear me, Colby? I said don't move.
It's odd, he doesn't answer. Colby? What? Oh, why did I have to become a policeman? Police headquarters? This is Chameleon. Connect me with Detective Arnold, please. Dave? Listen, Dave. Send the dead wagon out, please. Yes, the dead wagon. Well, I'm afraid I killed a man. Yes, the murder of Fanny Bilkins. I hit a fatal spot by mistake. I know, Dave, it's all in the line of duty, but still.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. A Have you ever tried breaking an aspirin tablet to give your children the dosage your doctor has prescribed? If you have, then you'll appreciate the new children's size Bayer aspirin tablets. These tablets are genuine Bayer aspirin, but they contain only half the amount of the regular size Bayer aspirin tablets, and thus you can give your child the proper dosage as prescribed by your physician, and you can do it conveniently. And because they're made so you can break them right in half, it's also easy for you to give still smaller dosages whenever necessary. Another thing you'll appreciate is that they're uncolored and unflavored and therefore cannot be mistaken for candy. And you can use them with confidence. For the fact that doctors prescribe Bayer aspirin single active ingredient even for the smallest children shows how gentle and dependable it is. The bottle and carton are plainly marked children's size Bayer aspirin. 30 tablets for 25 cents. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The Greenhouse Murder Case. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Frank Hummert, from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. The members of our cast join with our sponsors in wishing all their listeners a Merry Christmas. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find a few more episodes from The Green Llama at relicradio.com. Search for that. You'll find them there, alongside past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, and everything else Relic Radio, like our Shoutcast stream. If you enjoy this show and all the others and would like to help support them, give that donate button a click. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, though any amount is always appreciated and helpful. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.